You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. Today's episode, we got Coach Eric stepping in. Maybe you've heard him here before. I've interviewed him multiple times. I wouldn't say interviewed. I'd say it's more like we had conversations where we gave advice together here in the podcast. But now I'm having him, because people really like those episodes, do a couple of his own episodes here on the podcast per month. And today he's going to be talking about a very, very big topic. I tried to title this in a way that I could get everything in one, so to speak, because if you don't know, hopefully you know what skeletons in your closet is. If you don't, then I'm going to tell you, when you have something in your history or something going on about you that is not very attractive, or you think it's not attractive, and there's so many different ones, you know, we could have easily just done an episode per issue. Like, how do you talk about if you have an STI or an STD? How do you talk about if you are divorced, or if you have kids, or you've been to prison, or anything that you think is either unattractive or whatever it might be about you? We talk about it all, or Eric is going to talk about it all, rather, the skeletons in your closet. How do you convey this? How do you convey this on your profile? How do you bring it up? What do you need to do? Eric talks about it step by step. This is going to be very helpful for you. And Eric is going to say this, but I'm also going to say this to you. This comes up constantly in our coaching program. It comes up all the time when people just write in and ask questions. I've answered this on the podcast before, like, what do you do if you have an STD? And what do you do if you have this or that, or whatever it is that you think is hurting your chances of attraction? So that's what we're going over here today. Eric, yes, is one of the coaches here at Trip Advice. You can get a chance to work with him or any of my other coaches here at Trip Advice. We have boot camps going on. And we're actually, if you're on the East Coast, we're about to bump up the New York ones, because that one is going pretty fast. Of course it is. It's one of the most, you know, popular cities in, more populated cities in America. So we're going to be adding a lot more of those. If you want to see where we're doing approach boot camps, go to tripadvice.com/live training. Again, that's tripadvice.com/live training, all in one word. And you'll be able to check out where we're doing some more boot camps. Maybe you want to work with one of us and get virtual coaching, where you can get your own dedicated one-on-one coach to work with you and really do everything for you. We have lots of options over here to make sure that you just crush it with dating. Go to tripadvicecoaching.com if you want to learn about the boot camps, if you want to learn about the virtual program, if you want to see the actual dates, but also book a call with us. You can also go to the other URL that I mentioned just a second ago at tripadvice.com/live training. Don't delay. If you're a person who has skeletons in their closet, if you're a person who is just worried about what you need to do to get more women attracted to you, even though you think there's something unattractive about you, we've worked on this before. We've helped guys with this. You're not alone. We can help you. So check the show notes for those. And now here is Eric talking about how to deal with these skeletons in your closet.
Hey folks, this is dating coach Eric Leonard. Thank you so much for tuning in to another very special episode. And a very special episode indeed, because a lot of men are really struggling with this one. It's a question that, you know, honestly, if you're a listener, you've probably had this question at some point. If not, you're lucky. Okay, but I feel like a lot of people are going to benefit from this, and very few people know the answer. That question is, what if you have some type of blemish on your record or some potentially very negative information about you, either about your present or your past? How do you present that when you start to date someone new? At what point do you bring that up? Let's go through some examples. All right, so how about, but everything I talk about right now is actually coming from clients I've worked with. Okay, so I've helped people who've had these. How about age differences? How about maybe having contracted a permanent STI? I'm not talking about the fun ones such as chlamydia or HPV, but rather genital herpes, perhaps. Okay, how do we bring that up? What if you have a prison record? Yes, I've worked with clients who've had prison records. Okay, very successfully, actually. How about if you just, you know, you're a single father, you already have five children, you know, maybe that's potentially negative. How do we actually bring that up without scaring people off? Okay, these are all examples of a potential skeleton in the closet or just negative material, something that's very sensitive, okay, that requires a delicate hand. How you deal with these things is controversial, first of all. Not everyone listening to this is just going to simply agree with what I say, but I'm going to explain why I've espoused this certain stance, this philosophy, and I happen to think that it's backed by science in some form, which I will explain. So yes, you get a nice solid dose of science while we're doing this. I always try to incorporate that. All right, so here we go. First of all, let's use an example here. Let's say the sensitive material is living at home with your parents when you're a middle-aged adult. Also another real instance that I've had to deal with a client. Okay, when ultimately what I advise this client to do is to have ownership over the situation. That's a big part of it. Okay, but the key here is you're not going to present the material right away. As in, take it off of your profile. Do not include it on your profile. I have to say, don't include these things on your profile because sometimes people feel compelled to. As in, they need to be honest. They don't want to be deceptive. And believe me, I don't either. But I think there's tact that needs to be used here. Okay, so you're never going to say on your profile, I live at home with my parents, if that's the truth. Okay, you're going to keep that one off. Not because you're trying to hide it, but because there's a time and a place to present it. Okay, it's more an effect of just remaining neutral on that. I think the one that people like to put in their profiles the most, and they're not sure if they should, I recommend not personally. The fact if you're single and you have children. So a couple reasons why I don't like to put this one in the profile. For one, I think including photos or even information about your children, it draws attention away from you. We want to keep our focus on, okay, who's this man I'm going to be dating? Okay, we don't want it to be about these are what my kids are like. This is me playing ball with my kid and things like that. Yeah, it's sweet, of course, but ultimately it's a distraction. Okay, another reason why I don't want you to include this on your profile is I want you to include this instead a little bit later in, maybe first or second date. Get on the date first. Okay, that's the thesis. Why do you want to build something, some type of relationship first before you reveal sensitive information? Again, for one, on a profile, you have a very limited amount of space to talk about who you are. You really don't want your profile being bloated. If your profile is too bloated, she will probably pass by it. She's got thousands of profiles to read and only skimming through them. So that's one thing to consider. And because of that, you got to prioritize. We're not going to include every little thing about us. Okay, I'm going to include my main hobbies, my career, one of my favorite meals, perhaps favorite country I've traveled to. But after that, I'm starting to run out of space already. I'm not going to talk about how I was diagnosed with ADHD. I'm not going to talk about how, you know, I grew up in Southern California, but then when I was 18, I went up to Northern California and I studied there for 4 years or so, but I actually stayed in that area for a while. And then I finally moved up to Portland. No, excessive detail. Okay. It's not about your life story. And because you can't fit that much information in there, you're going to be wise to include the positive information, okay? The profile process is about attracting people in. It's an advertisement for who you are. Of course, you're not perfect. Nobody is perfect, okay? But I'm asking you to have an ad right now and treat the profile like you would any other ad. The finer terms and conditions and details will come later, okay? We're just trying to get people interested right now. That's one reason why I don't want you including this on your profile. The bigger reason is because there's no investment made when a girl reads your profile. If she sees something potentially negative, oh, this guy lives at home with his parents, or oh, he has five children, it's very easy for her to say no. And if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, if she doesn't agree with who I am anyway, why would I want to date this person? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to explain that as we go here. when we don't have investment in something, it's very easy to say no, but we are perfectly capable of evolving and adjusting our attitudes and opinions as a form of commitment and investment. I'll explain that as we go some more, of course, okay? Just like it's easy to swipe left in general when it comes to online dating, and that's one of the reasons why it's hard to get dates with online dating, because the girls can just toss you to the side, no problem. Cold approach is better because they've had to make a connection with you. Maybe you've already chatted for a while. They see the real human, all the emotions right there in front of them. They've experienced them now. Okay, so online dating is a very low investment platform. Okay, now again, people are going to disagree. They think this is deceitful. You're lying by not including certain facts such as your child status. I don't see it that way. What did we do before we had online dating? Did you walk around with a big billboard proclaiming your astrology sign and your childhood status and how frequently you worked out at the gym? No, you did not. You actually had to talk and get to know people and find out the organic way. Okay, so all I'm espousing is we go back to that. We don't necessarily want people knowing everything about us from a profile. That's not the point of the profile, to write your life story. It's a snippet of who you are, or a snapshot, or an express advertisement. Nothing more than that. The real getting to know you happens in person, happens on the date. And it's when you're on the date, or maybe sometimes after the date or into a second date, that they are building investment and commitment with you. Just by agreeing to be on the date with you, they've already invested time, money, energy into you. And they're finding out what a great guy you are. And they're maybe even starting to fall for you a bit. The method here is to wait until you have some more investment. And honestly, that's typically one date, depending on the issue. If it's a really big issue, it might be a few dates in. Okay, but create some investment. Get the girl to like you. Let's go back to, say, putting children on the profile, the fact that you have kids. Let's use this as our prime example right now, because I think it's just so common with people. Instead of putting that on your profile where she can quickly just say, next, don't want to do it, that might just be too much for me. What you can do instead is you can go on the date and you can casually, as you're getting to know each other. Oh, and by the way, I love my daughter. I love my daughter, Lauren. Just adore her. There's a photo of her. And then you can move on to the next topic. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. The reason why this might work, at least why probability goes up that she will still want to see you, is because, again, it's not black and white. There's some very erroneous thinking when we think that we're staunch about things. There's a lot of that these days, isn't there? Polarized thinking, right? You're either the liberal, the conservative, you're black, you're white, you're with us, you're against us. Well, why don't we just tear those lists down and not use them at all? Okay, the truth of the matter is we change our thinking, we change our opinions, we change our outlooks. You are not the same person at 30 as you were when you were 20. You've changed some of those ideas. So what we want here, what we want to do is at least give the woman we're on the date with certain consideration to be able to change her mind. Okay, make an adjustment. So if we're on a date with this girl, date's going well, maybe you've already kissed, this girl clearly likes you, it's an amazing date, and then you reveal, yeah, and of course, I have this wonderful daughter, Lauren. Again, I would casually kind of get off of it, mention it with a lot of positivity, but then you don't have to dwell on it like, oh, look at the elephant in the room, I have a kid, let's keep hyper-focusing on that. No, no, no. There's a good chance the girl you're on the date with is likely to say, you know what? I wasn't really looking to date someone who already had children, but I really like this guy I'm out with. This guy I'm out with right now, he's an amazing guy. Like, do I really just want to toss him aside just because he has a kid? I mean, that doesn't seem fair. You know, he has a kid, so he's damaged goods now. I see no harm in going on another date with him anyway. Now, obviously, it won't always go that way. If it's something really important to them, you may have no luck, but we're talking about increasing probabilities here. I've discovered this effect myself personally. I studied this effect, but it kind of entered into my brain one day accidentally. This was a few years ago. I was dating the most wonderful woman. The most wonderful woman. When I look back to my ex-girlfriends, this is that one that's just like, man, I have nothing bad to say about her. That was such a great memory. I'm okay with where I am now, guys, but really great girl. And at the time, I had a very hard rule about I'm not dating someone more than 8 years age difference me. I don't want them to be more than 8 years younger than me. So I dated this incredible girl. Her name was Sue, by the way. And I'm allowed to say that because no one knows who she is. And there's a lot of people named Sue. Okay, but I met Sue. I fell in love with Sue. Sue was amazing, just incredible girl. And at one point, you know, I think we'd gone on a few dates and I realized I didn't know her exact age. And so she told me and I did the math and I said, oh, you're 8.5 years younger than me. Almost 9 years younger than me. What do you guys think I did? Do you guys think I said, screw you, Sue. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I cannot do it anymore. You are past my boundary. You're past my non-negotiable of 8 years. Of course not. I was really starting to fall for the girl. And I told myself, wow, I've already put all this time and energy into her. She's genuinely a lovely woman. It's going to be hard to beat Sue. Okay, I like this girl. I want to keep seeing her. My feelings towards her did not change because of this new information that had entered. Okay, I had already built investment and commitment, which is the point here. Get them into a dating relationship before you reveal sensitive information. And I ended up telling Sue, that's awesome. No problem. You know, I thought in the back of my head, okay, yeah, she's a little younger than I agreed to with myself, but I know something good when I see one. I definitely had something good. I'm gonna hang on to this one. And ultimately, does it really matter that much, the age difference? Okay, I started rationalizing and making adjustments. I've done the same with women who revealed to me that they had children. I didn't see that on their dating profile. We went on a couple dates. The girls were incredible, just sweetest women, just beautiful, nice, adventurous. A couple dates in, same thing. She mentioned she has a son, you know, son stays with the dad sometimes. And that's why she had so much free time with me right now. And I realized, like, I had a little bit, you know, just where my heart stopped for a second. I had to think, oh no, I was trying to date someone who didn't have any children. But ultimately, emotions and the investment, my feelings for her won out. And I said, you know what? Whatever. I don't even care right now. Let's keep going on dates. I love your company. If I had known about that when I encountered her on the dating app to begin with, I probably would have swiped left. Not because I don't have any tolerance for it in that moment, but because there's no investment made that I have no reason to consider her when I have other options. I'm not saying you drop all your non-negotiables, you drop all your boundaries, you just start swiping right on everybody no matter what. By any means. But refer back to yourself here. What baggage, what skeletons in your closet do you have? Let's go back to the client who lives at home with his parents. I had talked to him about this. This is one of his big concerns when he entered coaching. He just said, I know I'm never going to get a girlfriend because I'm a 36-year-old man. Women are never going to accept a man who lives at home with his mom and dad. First of all, that was more true 30 years ago. Things are changing now with pandemics and things like that. And just general shift in lifestyle being more communal. Our generation doesn't have as much money anymore. A lot of us aren't doing things quite on our own as we would have 30 years ago when money was falling out of the sky. Okay, so a client like this who had this problem, I told him, look, here's what I want you to do. It's not as big of a deal as you think, but I know you have reasons for this, don't you? He said, well, yeah, I mean, I make decent money already. You know, he was a software developer. Of course, he was making good money. But he said, nonetheless, I liked saving money. I could live with mom and dad, not pay rent. I already had the house in the city I wanted to live in. You know, why go get my own place when I'm already content with where I am and I'm putting away $1,000 each month from rent savings. I said, sounds like, wow, you're really passionate about this. There's some great valid reasons to stay living with your parents. And he said, yeah, you know what else, Eric? I genuinely like my family. I love my mom and dad. Okay, we're very communal people. I think he had a Vietnamese background. Okay, not that you need that. You're allowed to love your mom and dad and be communal without coming from a more communal heritage. But nonetheless, he had reasons. Okay, so he had some, at this point, I hope I'm convincing you, he actually had some pretty good reasons. Okay, these are all valid reasons by any measure. But he's still assuming that women are going to hate him for this. Okay, that there's something wrong with him. And I told him, here's the problem. The problem is you've been apologizing for this. Okay, so if you enter into a dating relationship and you say, yeah, look, I still live at home with my parents. I know, but you know, maybe one day that'll change. Yeah, sorry. I thought I'd tell you now though. Okay, get that out of the way. Of course, it's just you not having backbone for that thing that you actually do love to do. You have a reason for it. So I told him, I need you to start taking ownership. There's a key word every listener should be writing down right now if you're taking notes. If not, log into your brain. Ownership. I don't care what it is. If you live at home with your parents, take ownership. I love living at home with mom and dad. Love helping them out, especially during the pandemic stuff when they needed extra aid. Love saving money. Love cooking meals together, sharing. Okay, it's nice having a family. Great, that's ownership. That's you no longer apologizing. Do you have 5 children? I love my kids. Absolutely adore them. Okay, total ownership. Do not talk about the issues with the ex-wife. Don't talk about the custody battles. Hit it with positivity completely and ownership. Were you addicted to heroin at one point in your life? Yeah, you know, I actually had this experience. I actually had a heroin problem when I was much younger, but in a weird way, it really set me up on a good path, a much better one I am today, because it motivated me to pursue career interests. I realized I didn't want to become some junkie, some loser. In fact, I'm actually entering a program into substance abuse counseling. It really inspired me. And so, yeah, that was a really hard period of my life, but I look back now fondly. Not on the addiction itself, but the fact that it motivated me, that it was an experience that set a certain path in motion for me, okay, to improve who I was and to appreciate the little things in life. I no longer have to spend nights in a jail cell here and there, right? The food there's terrible. Ha ha ha. Make a joke. Have ownership over it. Okay, so take ownership over everything that you think is potentially negative. There's a good chance it's not even negative. You just perceive it that way. Okay, but whatever it is, if you think that it might be, well, go ahead, take ownership over it. Stop apologizing. That's the first thing to do. The second thing to do is to bring it up at an opportunistic time. That means not on the dating app. That means not before you've gone on a date. Okay, that may mean several dates in certain instances. Another client of mine, I mentioned earlier on, prison record. I have several clients who've had prison records. I had a client here who was in prison for 5 years, and he is now a registered sex offender. But he wanted to start a real relationship. The state decided that he was rehabilitated. I think it was a lower level offense anyway. I obviously didn't pry him for details. And I taught him, look, I want you to stop bringing this up early on like it's a serious subject. Again, if you start apologizing for things early on, all right, look, honey, there's something I got to tell you before we date more. I'm a registered sex offender. I've been in prison for 5 years. Of course she's out of there. She hasn't built any investment. She hasn't fallen in love with you yet. And that's a bigger one. That's a tougher one, of course, right? Than just say, oh, I have kids, by the way. Or I'm a little bit younger than what you preferred. Okay, so it takes a little more finesse. But a lot of men start apologizing for things like this. Again, I want you to take ownership for it. Step one. And then step two is to present it at the correct time, not too early on. Okay, again, I have ADHD. I'm not going to go put on my profile. Oh, by the way, I'm super obnoxious sometimes because I get hyperactive and I have ADHD. No. No. People learn that about me after we've gone on a few dates. I'm never going to truly hide anything from anyone. I'm just simply admitting it at the beginning because there's not enough time to present everything about me. Not even in one date, not even in two dates. Okay, so if you have this prison record, get some investment going. Build a great relationship. Maybe that just means you've been on three dates with a girl. Make sure you guys like each other. Make sure she's that sweetheart who's trusting. Okay, and when you finally do have to talk about it, it goes something like this. So there is something I wanted to tell you. I do have a little bit of a troubled past. I did have to spend some time in jail. It was a long time ago. Okay, and it was because of this. Total misunderstanding, total mistake. And these days, I'm just so glad that I'm doing much better with my life right now. Okay, I've started going to church. The girl this guy's dating in this narrative is probably already going to know this. He's a churchgoer. It's already evident that he's cleaning up his act. Okay, because she's been dating him. And that's the point. You need to create investment first and familiarity. Okay, and just, wow, that was a tricky period in my life, but I really love where I'm going with it right now. Okay, got a great job, did some retraining at the university. Okay, I'm just putting my past behind me, doing a lot of community service and whatever I can do to help out. Okay, obviously it's not quite that simple. I have to paraphrase this the best I can because it's a podcast and I have a time limit. But I'm telling you something right now. This man I'm referring to is now happily married to a new partner. She knows about it. She found out, you know, once they were really deep in. And she had said, I think it was more than a few dates. I think they had dated a while. But she had said, okay, I love you. You're a great guy. This is definitely a shock. You dropped a bomb on me here. But I'm not just throwing in the towel. You've shown me you are a great guy. Okay, they talked things through, explored it, of course, and they're happily married. Life's never been better for him. He overcame the status of being a registered sex offender and having spent time in prison. And a large part of that was not presenting it right away. Okay, because we need investment and commitment first. All right, so something else. I want to tell you guys a little bit about a word that many people have heard about, cognitive dissonance. Okay, and this has to do with commitment and investment that I've been referencing here. Cognitive dissonance, if you don't know what this is, it posits that your attitudes, such as your thoughts, emotions, should align with your behaviors, such as what you do, what you actually perform and engage in. Now, when they do not align, okay, in other words, when you're not being who you say you are, that's one way of doing it, there's a state of cognitive dissonance, of stress. The cognitions are not aligning with who you are behaviorally. Okay, and almost like a defense mechanism, what your mind wants to do in order to reduce that state of stress is it wants to make an adjustment on one or the other. I believe it doesn't actually matter. You can adjust the behavior or you can adjust the attitude. However, I happen to think it can be much harder to adjust a behavior once you've invested or committed. There's those words again. Okay, so for example, here's a great example of cognitive dissonance. Let's say you've started a PhD program. You've put a lot of work into it. I don't have one, but I hear they're not easy. Now, let's just say you kind of ended up in this PhD program and thinking, okay, well, I have a path for it. Why not? But you never really answer that question. Is this really what I want to do? Maybe you're not even 100% sure. Maybe you're just kind of going with the flow because you have great marks and it's going well for you. Because you've already put in so many years of work. let's just say the PhD's in organic chemistry. And you never even asked that question. Do you want to work in organic chemistry? You had an interest, but do you want to do it? Well, if you went and you earned a PhD in it and you did all that work, all that behavioral commitment, there's that word commitment, behavioral. You can't undo that, right? You've invested in it already. There's a good chance your brain, in order to make alignment with the cognitive dissonance, your brain is going to say, you know what? Of course I love organic chemistry. I put all this work into it. I must love it. Okay, it organically changes your thought and your opinion. Okay, when you don't have the investment, it's a little bit harder to do that. So cognitive dissonance is a very real thing. You can go ahead and look that one up if you don't know what it is. I'm just applying it to dating now. What happens when the girl you're dating finds out about some unsavory information, something potentially negative, whether that's real or perceived, but she's already put time, energy, work, behavioral commitment into you? There's a good chance the attitude is going to be what changes. When she hasn't done that yet, such as you're just connecting on a dating app and you reveal to her some unsavory thing, by the way, I have an STI. Of course she's going to swipe left or she's going to cancel the date or whatever. It's not that she's a bad person. It's just a matter of like, well, she has nothing invested in you yet. Why should she do this when she can do it with someone else who doesn't have that, right? But what happens? You go on a few dates. If you have an STI, maybe hold off on having sex for a while, depending on what it is you have. But let's say you go on 3 dates and you guys are clearly both mutually falling in love with each other or falling for each other. Okay. There's commitment happening here. She's been spending time on you. Okay, she also has invested emotions. When you reveal this information, there's a much better chance she's going to say, oh, you know what? I guess that's okay. We'll find a way to work with it. I am not giving this up. That's how it works. Okay, so to summarize this, let me say this again. Unbridled positivity in outlook to what it is you're dealing with. Okay, for me, I love my ADHD. It makes me fun at parties. Also helps me get things done. I'm energetic. Okay, I'm doing great in business for that reason. Don't apologize. Let's start with that. Number two, let's go ahead and reveal it at an appropriate time. Probably not too soon. I'm going to add one thing onto this. You also don't want the relationship to go on for years and then you reveal something that was a big deal breaker because then she feels like you lied to her, you duped her. Remember, this isn't about deceiving women. This is about finding a strategic and appropriate time to reveal some unsavory information. That's it. We actually do want her to have the full truth of who you are. You're just delivering it in appropriate doses at the right time. And then number three, cognitive dissonance is on your side. If you can build some commitment and investment from her, she's more likely to go with it. So that's my spiel for today. I'm betting probably half, if not more, of people listening to this have some type of baggage and they've been fretting about it. I have no idea how I'm supposed to present this when I date new women or to my current girlfriend. Okay, obviously each situation is unique. Okay, but positivity, no apologies, total ownership over it. Okay, reveal at an appropriate time. If it's something like you have kids, I'd probably do that one on the first date. Very casual, owned manner. And then use that investment made. Okay, she's already on the date with you. She at least likes you, at least more than just when you were a blank profile on a dating app and she didn't meet your person yet. All right, guys, everyone has baggage. Like I said, the stuff I told you about, such as prison records, STIs, addictions, these are all very real things. Where do you think I get these lists of examples from? Like, they come from my clients, right? I've dealt with them before. Okay, I've helped my clients deal with them before. And all of them are doing it. They really are. If they can do it, you can do it too. Some problems are harder than others. But I truly do not believe that anything is insurmountable. That's my podcast for today. I hope that you enjoyed it. Until next time.